Welcome to my commentary on Peter's first epistle. This section, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We have just discussed in chapter 2, submission to governing authorities, submission on behalf of slaves to their masters. Now we're speaking about submission of wives to husbands. So let's just delve into this. 1 Peter 3:1 says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands." In the same way as, slaves should submit to their masters, and even evil masters, in the same way Christians submit to governing authorities, in even evil ones, in like fashion, Christian wives should submit, rank under, arrange themselves under the authority of their husbands, and in like fashion, even if he is not a Christian. So be submissive to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. This is about the only place you're going to find in the Bible where preaching the good news is just by behavior alone and not without words. Other than this, when you want to exhibit the gospel to others, you must use words, and of course the words must be backed by a quality life. Here, Peter, Paul, the New Testament realizes that married relationships are of a special kind. Preaching to your husband or to your wife doesn't really cut it when it comes to such things. Peter is hoping and praying that the wife's good behavior, godly behavior, will in fact lead her husband to the Lord. We need to realize that the Bible does not condone marrying a non-Christian. So what Peter is obviously talking about here is a woman becoming a Christian after she has been married. What does she do? How does she live in relation to her non-Christian husband? Simply put, be on your best behavior, because maybe that will win your husband to the Lord. It doesn't guarantee that your husband will become a Christian, but it can help. Verse 2, "When they see the purity and reverence of your lives." Purity and reverence. Let's look at the word purity. People in this part of the world, in the Roman world, especially if they were Gentile men, were not very pure. They were impure, immoral, adulterers. And to see that a wife could be pure sexually, morally, and in every way would be a testimony to the husband. Look at the word reverence. Reverence here means you respect, even if your husband is not a Christian, treat him with the greatest reverence. Again, this reverence may help him come to Jesus. This is not an easy thing to do, obviously. You know, you can be nice to anybody that you meet during a day. If you're going to be nasty to anyone, it's likely to be the one you claim to love, and that is your spouse. Reverencing a non-Christian spouse is not an easy thing to do, but it is the command of Scripture. Verse 3, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornments, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead," verse 4, "it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." So Peter is saying what your husband should really be seeing here is your inner beauty, not necessarily your outer beauty, and how you adorn your body with clothes, jewelry, whatever, braided hair. Now, we're speaking about a cultural thing here. In many respects, what Peter was talking about with the braided hair, the jewelry, and the specific clothes he probably had in mind were the clothing, the way the prostitutes would have looked, the way that men would have seen prostitutes around the temple in pagan Roman society. Prostitution was part of pagan worship. Anyways, Peter is saying, wives, don't dress like prostitutes. He's saying it's your inner beauty that should attract your husband to yourself. What does that mean for us today? What really what it means is modesty, or so I believe. Peter is saying just dress modestly. Don't make it your dress that attracts people to you. Make it your quiet and gentle spirit that is what attracts people to you, and especially your husband. A quiet and gentle spirit really is not just for the wife. Paul, in a number of occasions, speaks about the Christian in general. Men and women should have a quiet and gentle spirit about them. A forceful, arrogant person does not help the cause of Christ and the gospel. Quiet, gentle individual is one who is capable of speaking the truth of the gospel in such a way that it could be heard by the non-believer. If you speak it too forcefully, arrogantly, proudly, it's not likely to be heard. You got to speak the truth. It's mandatory you speak the truth of the gospel, but the way we speak it must be done in such a way that it gives every possibility of being heard. That's what Peter is saying to the wife here. In verse 5, he refers back to Jewish women. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are to be daughters if you do what is right, and do not give way to fear. Okay, we got a few things to look at here. Some people say that Peter was speaking primarily to Jewish believers, and the one reason why they say it is because of this verse, because he's referring back to Sarah and Abraham. Now, we need to look at this. Peter says that the holy women in the past put their hope in God. Their number one allegiance was to God. They put their hope and faith in God, even if they lived with a man who wasn't godly. In the long run, you've got to trust God in every situation, including a mixed marriage where there is unbeliever and believer. That is fundamental. He goes on to say, they were submissive to their own husbands. You know, I've seen in the charismatic movement of the 60s and 70s that some women who had unbelieving husbands were more submissive to their male pastor than they were to their husbands, and that caused problems that shouldn't be. So when he says, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called master, Sarah called him master, well, that's so far-fetched from our culture that's hard to even elaborate on. But calling him master was the cultural way of reverencing Abraham. That's not necessarily our cultural way. A wife does not culturally speak of her husband as being her master. In Sarah's day, Abraham's day, that was the culture. The point to be made here, wives don't have to call their husbands masters today, but they still must have the reverence that Sarah had for Abraham that caused her to call him master. And finally, it says, and do not give way to fear. Why would Peter say, don't give way to fear, wives? Well, just think about it in this way. In Roman society, if a wife was a Christian and the husband wasn't, that would put her in a bad spot. She would be fearful of many things, the least of being divorced. She would be fearful of being handed over to the authorities and persecuted, imprisoned, or executed. The husband would do that in that day and age. He would hand his believing wife over to the Roman authorities to be killed. No wonder they had something to fear, but if they trusted God, even if they were executed, they could trust God during the execution. Peter now leaves the wife and goes to the husband in verse 7 when he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Now, okay, weaker sex. That's obviously physically. It's not spiritually, socially, morally. In those days, really, I would imagine women were much stronger physically than they are today. They carried big, huge jars of water all over the place. But anyways, what Peter is saying here, from the Greek word that's translated respect, it's a Greek word meaning of value and of worth. Treat your wife, husbands, as one who is valuable, who has great worth. This would be a drastic statement for Peter to make in this male-dominated Roman world. Men did not view their wives with this kind of valuable worth respect. They viewed them as not even second-class citizens because they weren't citizens. Men viewed women, especially their wives, as property. Peter is saying, come on, guys, let's stop doing that. Your wife is of great value. She is of great worth. So much value, so much worth that Jesus has made her heirs of salvation along with you. And that's why Paul says, when it comes to salvation, there is neither male nor female. You're both on the same level. You both have the same worth. So when we talk about wives submitting to husbands, that's more of a role in the family. It has nothing to do with value or worth because both are created equal in value and worth. That's why God pulled the rib out of Adam. To place Eve along beside him. When the King James says that God made a helpmeet for, and the King James does say helpmeet for Adam, the word means someone who can be alongside him, not above him, not below him, but to work alongside him. That's what we're talking about here. Finally, in verse 7, Peter says, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husband, if you do not consider your wife of equal value and equal worth, and if you don't love her as you should, your prayers will be hindered. You've got to realize that. There are reasons why some of our prayers don't get answered. Peter states one of them right here, and it's directed towards the husband. You know, in Ephesians 5, Paul speaks of the same thing. Husbands and wives. Paul elaborates a little bit more. He says something that Peter doesn't say. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Now, some might say Paul could say that easier than Peter because when Paul said it, he wasn't married. He didn't have a wife to love as Christ loved the church. Peter was married. He might have had a harder time saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, because he was in the midst of the relationship. I'm sure Peter would agree with Paul. That's it for this section.